Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the show on this Friday afternoon as we take you into the weekend. We'll have a Friday edition of Sue's News momentarily in just a couple of minutes. Fred has joined us in the studio after the roundtable. How are
hey,
you?
I'm good.
How about
how are
Fred
you?
Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Did you see what happened? Oh, Jane's here as well. Sorry, I didn't mean to, you know.
Yeah, I did see it, and I loved it. Can
so,
we hear it?
Yeah, this is so Putin and Trump are on the tarmac walking together. And I'm guessing, you know, when you hear Putin, I don't really remember hearing Putin speak in English very much at all. Do you?
No.
But he has to be somewhat fluent because they're sitting there chatting. Either that or Trump knows Russian because they're sitting up chatting it up
on the red carpet,
yeah, right?
Yeah, the red carpet. They're talking back and forth like they know what they're saying.
Right. So maybe I would assume that Putin has some grasp of the English language more than Trump might have of Russian.
I
don't know. But so what happened was is they did this. They're showing this on Fox right now. There's a bunch of, was it F-22s and then stealth bombers flying by. Here, listen. Like, total show of force right over the skies when they're shaking hands in Anchorage. So that was pretty good. Now, I guess, you know, this is somewhat good news that they haven't walked out of this right now. Trump is going to do an interview with Hannity tonight. But, Fred, you and I were talking about this before the show because we may cut away
right. And
go to the live coverage if he comes out and there's some news. And, you know, Trump's not risk-averse to going before the cameras, and we know what happened with Zelensky. We don't have that type of moment where they're sitting together. But this could be kind of interesting. They've been in the meeting for, what, like an hour now at this point?
Yeah, and going into the meeting, the Russians said it could be an eight-hour meeting. But I kind of doubt that President Trump would put up with 8 hours of meetings. And yeah, it's a three-on-three, these meetings right now, three-on-three.
What does that mean?
It's President Trump and Rubio and Stephen Witkoff are the three Americans that are together.
Okay.
And it's Putin and, I guess, two other Russians that are are meeting. And this is three-on-three right now.
Does Putin have his shirt on? Do we know if Putin's topless or does he have his shirt on, right?
Don't know anything yet.
It does kind of sound like basketball. But, you know, the other thing that the president's been making clear, and he talked about this with Brett Baer, is this is sort of the first step.
Okay, in the office with President Trump on Air Force One, heading in, what's your initial feeling? How are you feeling about what you're going to get out of this?
I think we're going to do very well. Our country is doing very well. We're setting records economically like we never have before, including the stock markets are all at a record high. We're taking in trillions and trillions of dollars with tariffs. We're going for a meeting with President Putin in Alaska, and I think it's going to work out very well. And if it doesn't, I'm going to head back home real fast.
I mean, if it doesn't, you walk.
I would walk, too.
Which one, Fred? You're giving me hand signals.
Yeah,
and
I was telling
you
the next one is really good with the two of them.
What is that one labeled?
It's the one that should be right after it.
There is not one right
Trump
after it.
Trump with Baer.
Okay, the one that was right before the meeting, right? Yeah, here we go.
What are your expectations? I mean, is the goal of this meeting in Alaska to walk away with a ceasefire?
So when you talk about deals, it's all I do my whole life. I do deals. You never know. You don't like to have too many expectations. You want it because you have to weave and bob and you don't know what's going to happen. But we're going to go and find out. I'd like to see a ceasefire. I wouldn't be thrilled if I didn't get it. But everyone says you're not going to get the ceasefire. It'll take place on the second meeting. The second meeting is going to be but I'm not going to be happy with that. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to be I won't be happy if I walk away without some form of a ceasefire. Now, I say this, and I've said it from the beginning, this is really setting the table today. We're gonna have another meeting if things work out, which will be very soon. or we're not going to have any more meetings at all, maybe ever.
So that's such a Trump thing, right? To say maybe ever. I'm seeing some video where they're just kind of sitting next to one another and a table is between them. And I don't know if this is, Fred, when did that take place?
Because, I don't know. That must have been right at the very beginning.
Yeah, maybe it was. They let some camera access in there. But we'll continue to cover that. And there is a chance that throughout the course of the next, 2 hours, we may go to the live news conference if there is one. And then he's going to do one tonight on Hannity when this thing is over, if it's less than 8 hours. I mean, if it goes long or something like that, they may have to reschedule that. Paul Hall will be coming up here on entertainment after Sue's News. We got a couple of things in the theaters, including Bob Odenkirk in Nobody 2. That first movie, Nobody, was a lot of fun. I'm hearing not the best things about the sequel, which is sometimes, very common. Jane, did you ever get out to see Superman?
No.
Fred, did you?
No.
Okay, so it's on premium demand now, which means you got to pay for it, maybe $20 or $30. But I didn't see it either. I saw Fantastic Four in the theaters, and I'm the outlier on that. I did not like it at all, but I really wanted to see Superman like on the IMAX and never got to do it. But you can spend the money and get that. Paul will fill us in. There's some shows that are streaming as well. I've been catching up on some stuff. The finale of the show Smoke on Apple TV Plus is coming up as well. Hey, Brian Kilmeade was posting on his Instagram page a short time ago a new puppy. Brian's a big dog guy. He's talked about it on the radio and TV quite a bit. I've shared some stories with Brian. Now, we lost a dog in the spring, and we went right into puppy land with Max, who is a Siberian Husky and lab mix, and there's a little pit bull. And this dog that Brian got looks like a Burmese mountain dog, doesn't it? Because I showed you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bear is his name, and he's big. He looks really big. My puppy is getting very big. We had to take a step up yesterday. The new crate was put into Alexa's room. Alexa's had the puppy in her room, and we had to take a step up in crate because he was getting so big.
Oh, bless his heart.
So that is, and Jane, you got to see him again because you haven't seen him. Both of you have not seen him in a few weeks.
I know.
He's really big. Now, you guys know I have Oreo, the bunny, as well, and you can always follow Oreo on Instagram at OreoSmorioTheBunny.com. I think it's like 5 million, followers at this point.
That he has a bazillion, I think.
Something around that. No, I mean, my checks from Instagram because of Oreo eclipse my salary tenfold here at 97.1. I just do this radio show because I'm having fun. But, so the deal with Oreo is, and this is weird, we call it the Reardon Zoo. We have three cats, we have two dogs, and we have Oreo the bunny. He has a hutch downstairs that's kind of like his condo, right? It's a pretty big hutch. He's got everything in there he needs. It's a two-level deal. It's pretty fun. It wasn't even that expensive. But I try to put him in there. We try to put him in there at night. Sometimes he's not in there. If we can't find him, I'm like, okay, you can wander the house, and he doesn't really do any damage. He has access to a litter box. That's the other thing. He's litter trained. Some people don't know this. But two nights ago, I put him in the hutch. At least I thought I did, and I shut the doors. And then Becky, when she woke up, she let Max out. She goes downstairs. Usually one of the first things we do is we let Oreo out and he eats some greens, eats breakfast, and he starts roaming the house. Well, he was already out, but the latches to the hutch were closed. So then there were two options. And of course, you know what I do. Jane and Sue in particular would know this. I blame Becky. I'm like, come on. You let that bunny out and then you close the door. You just don't remember it. Then I started second guessing. Well, wait a second. Maybe I thought he was in there and then I shut the door. But you know what happened? It was like a Shawshank Redemption moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my gosh.
He broke out. So I look at the hutch last night, and
I love him more.
Oh, yeah. There is a loose part of the hutch in the back, and there was enough space between that and the wall that he just escaped, and Thin Lizzy knows what happened.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak.
I was just amazed, so I had to kind of close up the back. It did solve a problem because, I was so confused. There have been times where I put him in the hutch, and I've closed the latch, but there's like a top to both sides as well. I don't know if I'm describing it well. It's very long. It's about 10 feet long. And each side of it, you can raise the top to get the litter box out. And then there's the middle part where he goes in. He could just walk in and crawl out. I have left the top open before, and he's jumped out.
Yeah, he is a rabbit.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
They hop.
But that's what I've heard.
I learned that the hard way about a year and a half ago.
I
was so impressed with him that he had gotten the jailbreak moment, and he stayed in there all night last night. So.
I thought he was a cord chewer. Is that accurate?
No, no, he's a cord chewer, but here's the deal. He's pretty much chewed every cord that he can in the house, and the ones that are left, I've had to reinforce. No, anything that happens with a cord now, we have to reinforce, and there's little protectors that I can get from Amazon. Yeah, you should be amazed at how many, and he just slices right through the Apple charging cords like crazy.
And he loves them.
I don't know if he loves them. They just his teeth go right through them. Right through them.
Little sharp little bunny teeth.
But he was so cute this morning, so my cat Coco and him were just laying right next to one another. Coco was sort of, you know, and I'm a cat person. Cats like to kind of wrestle and then sort of lick each other when they're playing. And he was doing that with Oreo, with the bunny. And Oreo was just playing right back. And and Oreo made some big steps with Max the puppy. They're coexisting
now. Coexisting. They don't have to be together.
Because people always say that. How do you do that? And, you know, they
animals
all,
do it
they
all the
get
time.
Along. They get to know. I think Max thinks that Oreo is a cat. That's my guess.
Which is great.
Yes. So then he's not eaten. That's why it's great. He's still alive. Hang on, Susan.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This news is very much looking forward to the baseball game tonight. Fred, I know you're going as well. This will only be my second game, which is kind of embarrassing and weird, but my summer was a little different than most summers. So taking the family tonight, Alexa's got a couple of friends that are going to be there as well. It's the Yankees, too, so there's some appeal there. We will not see Paul Goldschmidt. He's injured, so that's unfortunate because he would have gotten one of those rousing ovations. I think the crowd should be, because of the appeal of the Yankees, be just a little bit better.
And it's a bobblehead night.
It's like Chris Carpenter bobblehead night.
Hey, real quick, good news, though. He's not starting tonight, but he's available. He just said to media he's going to be available off the bench.
Oh, okay.
So Goldie might end up making an appearance tonight.
As a pinch hitter or something along those lines. All right, there you go. Well, that would be nice, you know, just to see him. We loved him, and he's done pretty well, hasn't he?
He's done very well.
Yeah, well, and I understand the dynamics there, but the Yankees have not done very well. They're the Dodgers and the Yankees with the $300 million payroll, they're both kind of struggling right now, which is interesting. And the Cardinals won those two series before the one with the Rockies against the Dodgers and the Cubs, so we'll see if they can get things done this weekend. Frank Cusumano is going to join us at 4:48. Scotty Warman from FanDuel Sports Midwest, we'll have a little chat with him. One of the things that we want to talk, Ethan, I want you to join me when Scotty's on, because Fred, you know, and Jane and Sue, I don't know if you know this already, but there's already a lot of buildup to the lockout that might happen, not next season, but the following season because of the salary cap. So that's one of the topics that we'll talk about with Scotty Warman. But let's do this on a Friday afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, good news. It's National Lemon Meringue Pie Day. I don't really like it. I'd rather have whipped cream than meringue. Yeah. Fred, your thoughts?
I'm a no.
I'm a key lime pie.
Oh, yeah. I love a key lime.
I'm with
key
Jane
lime
on
is
that.
Better.
Key lime is better for me, too.
So much better. But it's National Lemon Meringue Day, and somebody will like it. It's just not
I don't
me.
Think I would turn it down, quite honestly.
I would. I'd turn it down. Yeah. No, thanks.
And 60 years ago today, Mark will play the... In 1965, the Beatles played to a packed Shea Stadium.
Yeah, this was an amazing historical day, right?
Yeah.
I wonder how many people could even hear the music over the screaming and the little amplifiers.
They sound like babies.
This is well before, you know, amplification in big stadiums took hold for sure. Bob Heil, legend here in St. Louis, had a lot to do with that. But this was a very important day for the Beatles 60 years ago today. It's a great piece, and I share it with you, I think, in the New York Times today.
Yeah, it was.
About this anniversary.
56,000 people saw it. And at the time, it was the largest single crowd to attend a rock and roll show. And, of course, the Beatles set was a standard 35 minutes long. That was
that
the
is?
Standard.
My goodness. Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, what? But it didn't matter because the music was drowned out by the screams of the teeny boppers. So,
and I guess the songs were all like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, they're short songs, right.
But that's kind
of
crazy.
They weren't doing Hey Jude in 1965.
No, they were not. Tom Cruise, I found this story today. Tom Cruise reportedly declined to receive a Kennedy Center honor this year because of scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, I don't think he's, you know, this is being spun out there like he's doing it because of Trump, but I think he legit has something that conflicts with the appearance.
That's interesting because nobody will talk about it. They called his camp to say, what have you got to say? And they say, well, we don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
So
right?
I don't know if it's Trump related or whether he just has an issue somewhere with it, but he's not doing it. All right, I was thinking about music, and I've ran across this story. Okay, I'm going to quiz you guys first.
Okay.
What woman's name is featured in the most song titles? What woman's name featured in the most song titles? Mark Reardon.
Michelle.
Good guess. No.
Jane.
No.
Fred. Jane.
Marie.
Oh, close. She's number three.
Mary?
Number one is Mary.
Mary was my other choice.
Yes.
And I thought it's too obvious.
Here, we've got a little.
Brown mirror, keep on going.
Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain.
Springsteen's got a song called Mary's Place as well, so I should have maybe guessed that, but there you go. That's
well,
awesome.
No, there's no Mary's Got a Gun.
No, that's true.
There's a Jane's Got a Gun. Just
and there
saying.
Was a Jane
and
in
Starship
that song, too.
Jane, yeah. You know, Jane from Starship.
Okay, but it turns out it's a man's name that appears most in song titles. And this is a study that looked at 2 million titles in 2023. Can you guess the man's name?
John.
I was going to say John, too.
Nice job, Jane. It is John. That's what appears in the most.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too.
Were you? Were you, Fred?
Come on, that was an obvious one, though.
I was going with Fred.
Okay, you know, it's Friday, and I like Fred. We've got science news. Okay, sort of science news. Would you use toothpaste made out of human hair? A study found it coats your teeth to mimic your natural enamel and protects them better.
No.
I mean, it could hit stores within 2 years, but it sounds like they might use wool for the final product.
Or maybe the marketing should be a little different, right?
I mean,
and they say it has the same type of protein as hair, so they're going to try whatever it is. You're right. It does need a better. How are we going to present it to the people? Okay, and in space news, NASA clocked a comet that's zipping through our solar system at 130,000 miles an hour. This makes it the fastest we've ever seen. That's about 36 miles every second.
Okay.
And in AI news, the new version of ChatGPT is facing a ton of backlash. Apparently, a lot of users think it's worse than the last version, not better. So OpenAI ended up re-adding the old one as an option after people were just that disgusted with it. I guess it was that bad.
Sort of like New Coke.
Yeah. That's all right.
Oh, well, that was a disaster.
But you would think that with something like that, well, you know what? We have George Rosenthal from Throttleline coming up. Maybe we'll ask him about that, because how could you have something as popular and as successful as that and then take a step backward in the AI world?
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense.
I thought that was huge, especially that many people complained that they had to bring it back.
Ask Microsoft.
Oh, that's a good question.
They probably got consulting from Microsoft.
True. Somebody asked Reddit for the craziest excuses they've seen for missing work. I've just picked out a few of them. Number one, a guy didn't show up on Valentine's Day because he thought it was a federal holiday. Now, I can kind of see that, because we have some holidays now that you think, wait, we're really? Okay, I'll take that day off.
Right.
I flushed my car keys down the toilet. I've never done that. Anybody?
No.
Yes.
No.
I don't think many people have, but they use it as an excuse.
Yes. Chipmunks filled my truck's engine with walnuts. Somebody coworker called because she ran out of toilet paper and couldn't leave the house. What? There are other things. Come on, people.
Get creative.
That's right. And my favorite was, I can't go to work because I ate a whole log of cookie dough.
Well, that one's at least honest. I knew a lawyer who had to call in because she got stuck in a doggy door.
Are you kidding me? Lawyer?
Why was she crawling through
know.
The doggy door?
I'm just saying that that is okay. That happened.
You'd almost have to believe that one.
I mean, no, yeah, because like
who's gonna make
right,
that up?
Right.
Yeah, nobody's gonna say that.
No.
If they didn't,
I just hope there's pictures.
No,
somewhere.
But I mean, it's like so that makes all those excuses not seem so.
That's
crazy.
True. Oh, how embarrassing! How does one? Did you call the fire department?
I think I would have made up a story.
Eventually, you squeeze out.
Oh, I see.
Maybe she got locked out and had to get into the house that way.
Maybe.
That could be.
One doesn't know. After I heard that, I just stopped listening. I just was like, I don't need to know anymore.
There was a woman who called off work because there was a big bug outside her door, but it turned out later it was a piece of string. Now, one time when I lived in an apartment in Soulard, and I lived on like an upper level, and you had to go down the stairs, there was a possum on my front door when I came out really early to do the morning show, and it was kind of snarly, and I thought, am I going to get past this? So I crawled out a window and tried to get down, and I went through all this rigmarole. I was late. And then, of course, when I'm at the bottom of the stairs, the possum's like, see ya. And there he left. But I didn't know what to do.
Fear of possum story.
Well, I thought he might bite me. And finally, in Sue's news, maybe not. I don't know. We have today's random fact. Okay, Will Smith's part in Men in Black was originally offered to David Schwimmer, but he turned it down. Hmm. And then Will Smith went off to make a bunch of them. And that's it for Susan
News. And then
he
slapped somebody.
I always like those casting stories because that would be one for me to be very difficult to envision. But
I
do like David Schwimmer. I've seen him in some good roles since Friends. All right, we're coming back with Paul Hall on Entertainment.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Well, every Friday afternoon, right around this time, we visit with my friend Paul Hall from Common Guy Films. He's up in Milwaukee. Where, by the way, Paul, before we get into movies and stuff, the flooding that you guys had last week, I think it was a little undercovered nationally, but what, was it like 13 inches of rain in a very short period in some parts in Wauwatosa and other suburbs of Milwaukee? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, in my neck of the woods, it was close to, I think it was 14, and it was over the course of literally a short period of time, like 12 hours or less. So it was coming down so fast. I was out in it. My car was halfway covered, and my basement suffered some damage as well. Some of my old movie stuff is no longer, shall we say.
So, man, that sucks.
That's terrible.
But I found out this great thing, FedEx tubes. This is my ad for FedEx, not endorsed. Some of my posters I had in FedEx tubes downstairs, and the bottom of the tube did not, it repelled the water. And so therefore, I had a poster signed by Alan Arkin that made it through. I had a poster signed by Anthony Hopkins that made it through.
Cool.
I'm a happy camper. They were in that FedEx tube. So it worked out okay, all things considered. We're digging out, and we're still going to get out of it and come out the other end.
Well, that's good to hear because some of the video, and I've even seen some videos of the cleanup in, you know, houses that have had all kinds of stuff that, you know, had to be ripped out of the basement and they're sitting in front of their homes, and many of whom do not have, you know, insurance for some of this stuff, unfortunately. Let's talk entertainment here this weekend. We have this, Is Nobody Out in the Theaters? That's the Bob Odenkirk sequel to that first movie, which I thought was pretty good, by the way.
It's Who I Am, Nobody Two. So, you know, we go one more.
He was so good. Describe this whole phenomenon for Nobody, because it's an action, kind of a silly, stupid action movie, and he plays, I don't want to say a superhero, but he plays a guy that's living kind of a quiet life, but he has a different background, if you will.
Yeah, so I went back and watched the original again. I did like the original when it came out, and it totally caught me off guard. Hutch Mansell is a... He's kind of an accountant. He just kind of sits there in a business, kind of boring job. He gets robbed, doesn't do anything. His family looks down on him. But the reason he didn't do anything when he got robbed was he knew what his talents were. And let's be honest, people don't want to meet Hutch Mansell in the back alley of anywhere because he could take people down all by himself, even if there's 10, 12 people around him. And it was kind of this mixture of action and comedy. So when I went to see the second one this week, that's all I wanted. I definitely wanted to have Hutch back. I wanted him to just kind of beat people up and make me laugh at times. And it Nobody 2 definitely delivers on all those aspects. It gets a little corny and over the top as you move towards the end of the film. It's to be expected. The guy's like a superhero, like you said, but he's yet the most ordinary guy you'll ever meet. As he tells officers investigating, he's just nobody. We've got people here that you love. Connie Nielsen plays his wife. Christopher Lloyd is awesome as his dad. I love seeing him on screen doing things. This is a movie, if you like the first one, see it. Sharon Stone here as well. And these guys, actually, this whole thing takes place in Wisconsin. As you mentioned, it's at a water park. Looks eerily familiar to what a Dells water park would be in the Wisconsin Dells, which is kind of a side story where Sharon Stone is kind of the mob boss in the area. I like Nobody 2. If you saw the first one, definitely you've got to get out and see it. If you didn't see the first one, go back and see that one first so you kind of get what's
going
on.
I love the first one. It kind of, maybe because I wasn't expecting much out of it, and I love Odenkirk, and it was a different role for him. Jane, do you ever see that movie?
No.
It's just kind of a silly action film. Was it a Netflix? Something that streamed on Netflix is when you went back and watched it. Where is it, Paul? Do you know?
I had it in a library that I had at Prime. So I watched it on Prime. I believe it is up now on, I think it's Peacock, but I could be wrong on that one. It is streaming out there now for free. So you can see it. I don't have that network off the top of my head because, like I said, I put it in my digital library and I pulled it up that way.
Here is a film that opens on Netflix called Night Always Comes.
You know what it means to own a home, don't you, Kim?
Yeah, it's really good.
You know what it means? It means nobody's ever going to come and take you away again. You're my big brother, okay?
Yeah.
Mom, what is that?
It's a car. Bought it.
You're going to spend a whole down payment on a car?
Penny's going to be taken away, and I'm going to be out on the street again. Is that what you want?
You want to blame me? Go ahead.
I said film, but is this episodic television? Is this a movie or TV?
Nope. You are correct. It is a film. Okay. It's Vanessa Kirby and Jennifer Jason Leigh are your two main principals here. Vanessa Kirby plays a woman who, she's trying to get her mom, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and her brother to move forward in their life. And they're trying to get into a new house. They've got a deal lined up, and mom decides to blow all the money towards the down payment on a new car for herself. Then sets Vanessa Kirby up on this night of terror, I guess you could say, as she goes around doing everything she can to get the money for the down payment that she needs the next morning that her mom blew. It's dark. It's depressing. It is hard to watch at times. The idea that a young woman goes out into the nighttime streets and comes up with ways to get $25,000 overnight, you can imagine some of the things that go on. It is not for the faint of heart. I didn't totally enjoy my stay with Night Always Comes. It kind of just took a long way to build. It was a little too slow for me, and yet there was no kind of real good payoff. It was just there. I think you can do better unless you want to, have a kind of a sad evening, I guess. You could stick with it. Vanessa Kirby's really good if there's any redeeming.
Yeah, and, you know,
here.
By the way, people, I don't think she's a name that people would really know, but she's in the theaters right now playing Sue Storm in The Fantastic Four. She's probably best known from playing Princess Margaret in The Crown, but she was in Mission Impossible also. She played the White Widow in Mission Impossible. Yeah, not a name, but I think her name is growing because she's getting bigger roles.
Yeah, and she's always showing up at awards time. This one, unfortunately, is not going to get to awards time, but she's showing up at awards time because she gives you performances that you don't, in a lot of ways, see coming. And she's becoming very, very reliable with those awards-worthy movies. So you'll see her pop up more in those as we go on here, but not for me on this one.
So have you, and I can't remember if we've talked about Smoke on Apple TV Plus. Are you caught up on all that or not?
Yeah, we're coming up on the finale here for folks to check out on that one.
I think the finale's out today, and I started. Taron Egerton is in this. He plays an arson investigator, Journey Smollett, who actually happens to be the sister of Jussie Smollett, who was in the news this week. Plays a cop that kind of teams up with Taron Egerton's character to catch a couple of different arsonists. It was around about episode 3 where this thing took a turn, and I just shook my head and I said, no, you're not going to really do this. Come on. But I stuck with it and I kept watching it. And what I will say is the final 2 episodes leading up to the finale were really, really good. And there was a cliffhanger of sorts in last week's episode that I certainly didn't see coming. And I told Becky, because she's not caught up and I want to watch the finale with her, I'm like, you got to get caught up, because there really was in the penultimate episode a really good ending. So I'm looking forward to the finale. Okay. It was a show I almost gave up on, Jane, after three episodes.
Well, but I think I'm because I
like the way
him.
It's closing.
Jaren
Edgerton?
Him. Yes.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm
he's
a huge
good.
Fan, so I will watch it.
Greg Kinnear has a really interesting role in
that. I love Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
I do.
Anything else, Paul, recommending either in the theaters or on streaming platforms this weekend?
A couple things to mention. You now can watch Superman in your home on Premium On Demand as of today. So you get a chance to check that out if you don't want to go to theaters. However, it's still in theaters. A lot of places to see it. And I would recommend with Superman. It's definitely something you want to get out to see. You've got a couple really good things coming down the road. The Terminal List has a prequel that will be out here in 2 weeks. You got a new movie in theaters next week, which we will talk about, called Relay with Riz Ahmed. I got a chance to see that earlier this week. And I've been going through a couple other episodic television that we've got on the early near radar, shall we say, that we'll talk about soon. And I've also checked out the beginning of Fit TV over on Netflix. It is a documentary series on The Biggest Loser, and it's not always flattering about it. Jillian Michaels does not appear. Bob Harper does. So
interesting.
Draw your own conclusions.
You know, I read about that show today. What was interesting, Sue, as you know, Jillian Michaels was sitting at the table when Abby Phillips had Scott Jennings and the crew on a couple of nights ago, and she was talking politics, and actually she did a really, really good job, and I was surprised. So it's interesting, a double whammy of Jillian Michaels this week. So last night, I think it was yesterday, I said to Jane, have you watched The Hunting Wives yet? Which I've had a couple of people recommend to me. And your response was going to, but then Viv, your daughter, said it got stupid, just lesbian porn. And I said, okay, I'm not going to invest, despite the attraction of the lesbian porn. So I haven't started The Hunting Wives. But the one show that I am interested in, and I want to watch this one on my big screen in the basement, and sometimes that's a little tough just because we don't let the puppy down there as much. But have you checked out Alien Earth at all yet, Paul, or not?
Which is the series over on Hulu or in FX. Yeah, I have not checked that out yet.
Yeah, it's an FX show that started this week. I think maybe there's two episodes out, and you can stream it on Hulu. It's set in, it's like a prequel to all the Alien stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
So I'm curious about that. Huh. I've heard good things about it. It's years before the original Alien film is the time frame, and it follows a science vessel returning to Earth with five new alien species and sort of explores the themes of what they're all about. But I've heard really good things about that on FX, so you can check that out as well. Anything else you want to mention before I let you go?
I think we've got almost everything covered. We got great new stuff coming yet before the end of the month. Oh, I should mention also F1 returns to IMAX theaters today.
Huh.
So if you've got an IMAX theater near you, you've got another chance to see F1. And eventually, Mark, that will stream on my favorite streaming platform, Apple TV Plus, once it gets done with IMAX.
Yeah. So I'm in a tough spot because I haven't seen Superman or F1, and I wanted to see both of those in the theaters. My guess is I'm going to watch Superman this weekend on my 85-inch TV. I think it's going to do just fine there, but I really would like to see F1 on the IMAX. I think it's just perfect for
that. Is it showing here?
Well, that's a good question. We'll have to check Ronnie's and see what they did.
It's very limited. Yeah, it's only on the IMAX screen. So any IMAX screen, you have a shot.
All right. Hey, Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
TomandGuy.com.
We'll talk next Friday. Thank you.
Take care.
Cusimano's coming up. Friday afternoon, we do it on Mondays at this time as well. We visit with Frank Cusimano from KSEK. He's with us this afternoon. We got a big series with the Yankees in town at Busch Stadium. How are you, Frank?
Good to be with you, Mark. Yeah, I think it's it doesn't have quite the luster of the 64 World Series. However, they are the Yankees. They are the winningest team in the history of baseball. We are second in World Championships with 11. And there could be a special moment. He's not going to start tonight, but he says he's available to play. When Paul Goldschmidt comes to the plate, no matter how many people there are in that stadium, it's going to be a great moment because he was a great Cardinal.
Yeah, I'm going to the game tonight, and I hope I get to experience that. He has a knee injury. He got a little banged up, so that's why he's not starting. But there is at least a little hope that we might see him this weekend.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Mark, as you know, if the Cardinals are giving people like Aaron Miles and Skip Schumacher standing ovation, the place will just go berserk for a guy who was the best player in baseball and won the MVP one season for the Cardinals. And he's the ultimate, like, team guy, humble. He was kind of a dull interview. It's because he was just so humble, and he didn't want to ever talk about his greatness.
So, speaking of greatness, the Yankees, the Dodgers in the same camp, expected to be great with hundreds and hundreds of millions of payroll, but the Yankees struggling in their division right now. Toronto leads the way, and I think the Yankees are like 6.5 back.
Yeah, and they're right now clinging to the third and final wild card playoff spot. Can you imagine if they don't make it and then the Reds catch the Mets or the Cardinals catch the Mets and those two payrolls are not in the postseason? That would just be crazy.
Well, and the other thing that happened this week is we know we win the series against the Dodgers, you win the series against the Cubs, and then the Rockies come to town and you just seemingly can't get any runs in. How many players did they, you know, leave on base in a couple of those games? So maybe they get back on track and they win this. We are how far out now in the wild card, the Cardinals?
We are actually, the Mets lost last night, so okay. We're still only 3.5 out as we speak.
Okay, so that's, you know, that's realistic. I'm sort of in the camp that says, I don't know what's going to happen. I'd like to see them play well, and I'd like to see them win tonight because I'm going to the game. But look, the reality is we're playing for the future at this point.
Yeah, I want to have Ethan double check it if he can. It's either 3.5 or 4.5. I know the Mets lost last night, so we're still within striking distance. That's the bottom line.
City SC is in Chicago, I believe, tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I went out there yesterday, and this David Critchley is like a cross between Norman Vincent Peale and Tony Robbins. He is the most positive guy you could ever meet. And I asked him point blank, I know you're the interim head coach, but do you ever think about the permanent spot? Now, most guys would just duck that question and say, no, all I'm worried about is Chicago on Saturday. And he said, I'd be lying to you if I told you I haven't been thinking about it. And, you know, before he got there, they won 2 games. He's won 3. Now, his record is not glitzy. It's 3-6-1, but he has players that are healthy now. They're coming off a tremendous game last Saturday against Nashville, one of the best teams in the league. They got up to a 3-0 lead. Man, if they could go on a little bit of a run here, Critchley has a chance to keep his job.
Frank, I'm so excited. I think I told you this the other day. I'm a football guy. I'm an NFL guy. I love college football. Mizzou opens the season 2 weeks from last night. We're getting real close to Mizzou football.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, the biggest question in the state right now is who's going to be the quarterback. Mark, we sent one of our reporters down there, Corey Miller, and you get to watch a little bit of practice. And he said Sam Horns is throwing the ball better.
Wow.
And look, this Central Arkansas, it may be a situation where he doesn't even have his decision made by then, and he plays both of them. Or maybe if Horns the starter, Prabula's a better runner, you put in some packages where you highlight, you know, Prabula's athleticism. But it wouldn't shock me one way or the other, but people who thought when they gave Prabula $1 million, it's his job, they're wrong. Remember, Sam Horn in high school was the MVP on a team when Travis Hunter was his teammate. He's electric in terms of talent, throws a baseball 98 and can really throw a football too, and he's finally healthy.
Hey, Frank, Ethan here. You know, back-to-back years now, the AP preseason poll coming out that or Mizzou not in it this year, back-to-back 10-win seasons. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, a little bit. In fact, I think that's only the sixth time in history that a team has had back-to-back double-digit win seasons and not been in the, you know, the AP top 25.
Wow.
But with that said, a preseason ranking and a dollar will buy you a Kit Kat. It
sure
means nothing. If Mizzou comes flying out of the gates and is 4-0 after they beat South Carolina, they're going to be way high up on those rankings.
I am interested in this quarterback situation because you're right. The assumption is when the kid leaves Penn State, Prabula, you think, well, he's the guy, right? He's the starter. And I have heard, and I know you've been tracking this, that the competition is heated up. We've never really seen, you know, Sam Horn, how many games has he even started? Just a couple of games. He hasn't really played very much. So it will be interesting because he's a very talented athlete. I don't know what to expect. I just know you got to win these games early in the season or everything else is off the table.
Yeah, you know, Mark, we always point to that South Carolina game because that would set you up to be undefeated when Alabama comes to town. I think UMass is in between. But I'll tell you, game two, if they would have happened to get beat by Kansas at home,
that's bad.
Well, you talk about deflating, which I don't think they will. I know, Mark, there's one guy you got to keep an eye on. He's going to be their best player this season, I believe, is Ahmad Hardy, the running back. You've heard of him. Louisiana Monroe, 1,300 rushing yards. Drink is gushing about him. I mean, this guy has a chance to really be special.
What's coming up on Sports Plus on Sunday night?
We are going to have an unbelievable show. Bradley Beal, one of the great players to ever come out of St. Louis, a three-time All-Star. We're going to give you his story, his kind of his life story in St. Louis and where he stands now. We are also going to talk with Eli Drinkwitz. We're going to sit down for a one-on-one interview, and we are talking one-on-one with Ali Marmol to get his take on his squad and what his relationship like is like with the new guy.
Ethan's gotten to know Ali a little bit here pretty well. You were telling me this earlier, and you love him, don't you?
I have so much respect for Ali Marmol, and I think he has gotten a really bad rap. And he's so good with the media. He's honest, which I think you don't get some people, managers, that are as candid as he is in the game today. And he's very patient despite a lot of frustration over these last couple of years. Yeah, I love the way that Ali has handled the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I think his relationship with Chaim Bloom is pretty good. I just think if you look at this roster and you look at their wins and losses, I don't know many managers that would have more wins with this squad.
Yep. Good point. All right, Frank, hey, have a great weekend. We'll see if the Cardinals can win this series. I'm looking forward to seeing some baseball tonight. We will talk to you on Monday afternoon.
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right, take care. Jane, you have big weekend plans or not?
Not really. I mean, yeah, we're going to Glacier National Park.
Next week?
Sunday.
Will you be, will you be here on the Roundtable Friday or not?
Yep.
Okay, so you're going for like a quick jaunt.
Yep. And so there'll be horseback riding and hiking, and we're going to do a sunset.
Sounds
like
miserable.
Boat. Yeah, it's sad, terrible. Isn't it? I've never been to Montana.
You poor lady.
I've never been to Montana.
What if I
either?
Don't come back? Well, and I'll let you know.
It's amazing. I went last fall.
Everyone says it's incredible.
Beautiful.
Buy a ranch there so we can all come visit.
Oh my gosh. I'm all for that. Yes. We should have a compound.
Isn't that where Kevin Costner has his place? A lot of the Hollywood people have it somewhere.
I've
out
met
there,
him,
right?
And
Wyoming,
he loved me.
Montana.
So
he did.
He did.
You
know
you.
That he did.
I know.
And he was just adorable. And all right, so I could do that.
Well, have a great weekend. We're
you
coming
too.
Back. Ethan's going to hang in here with me. We're going to talk to Scotty Warman about some Cardinal stuff. Coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.